And we're going to be looking at Joseph tonight. If you want to open your Bible up to Genesis chapter 37, that's the start of Joseph's life. We're going to have a look through. But just think about Joseph being in prison. We're not going to look entirely at this. I'm just going to talk about it now. He spent those years in prison. We don't know how long he was in prison, but we know it was more than 2 years because of the butler and when he came out and the Pharaoh had a crazy dream. It was 2 years later and he was in prison for all of this time. And we go, he was falsely accused. And you know, when you're falsely accused and we know that God's got to do something. Well, God kept him in prison for over 2 years, didn't he? And he was innocent. And then we got to thinking about 1,000 years as with a day with the Lord, and a day is like 1,000 years with the Lord. And God's timing isn't our timing. And if that's the case, then Joseph spent 730,000 years in prison. Yeah. And that's only if he was in prison for 2 years, because that's a day is 1,000 years. So he spent 730,000 years in prison. Or if you put it the other way, he was only in prison for 2 minutes and 53 seconds. God's timing isn't our timing, is it? God is just, he's good. He tells us in Philippians 4:4 to rejoice in all things. And let's have a look at Joseph. Chapter 37 of Genesis, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for the gospel, for the salvation, for how simple it is, for how free it is and how it goes to everybody, Lord, and for the eternal life that you give us, Lord, and that it is worth living for. And we just pray now you guide us now as we look through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Genesis chapter 37, we're going to do, like I said, we're going to get all the way through to Genesis chapter 50. You reckon we can read through all that? See, I think in churches we actually don't spend enough time reading huge chunks of Scripture. So are we ready to get from 37 to 50? Okay, we need people designated to get chapters. You're looking at me like you've got to be kidding, right? Okay, all right, we won't do it then. But we're going to do a quick through of Joseph's life and his character and his attitude and things. So to put it into context of where it is, it's in Genesis. It's in the very first book of the Bible. We've had creation, we've had the flood, we've had the Tower of Babel. We've got to Genesis chapter 12 where God calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and Abraham has Isaac, and Isaac has two kids. And what are his two kids called? Jacob and Esau, and as a family, they got along really well as brothers. And then Jacob came down here and had a whole bunch of kids, 12, and they also got along really well, okay? And so we've got Jacob here, who is called Israel, and he is Abraham's grandson. Good to know that, because where Abraham came from wasn't from Egypt, just so you know, if you didn't know already. So here we are in Genesis chapter 37. It says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Okay, so here we have Joseph. He's a young boy, 17 years old. You're 17, aren't you, Clem? 17 years old. He was your age, and he's got a bunch of big brothers who didn't like him. They probably beat it up on him when he walked past, and said, he spoke roughly with him. They probably gave him a noogie and all this kind of stuff, and they didn't really like him. And Joseph dreamed these dreams. We're going to get right through this, okay? Go quickly with me. Verse 5 down to verse 8, he has this dream where they're out in the field and they're harvesting these sheaves, and they're bundling all these sheaves. And he goes, "I had this crazy dream, you guys. So we were bundling sheaves and my sheaves stood up and all yours bowed down to my sheaf." And they go, "Yeah, be quiet." And verse 8, it says, "And they hated him." And verse 9, he dreamed a second dream. And he said, "This time the sun and the moon and the stars bowed down to me." and then they didn't like him even more. Verse 11 says, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. So his brothers aren't too happy with him at the moment. And so the boys are out feeding the flock, and then Jacob sends Joseph out. He goes, go check your brothers, see how they are, and then come back and tell me how they're going out there, out in the field. So he goes wandering out there, and he's wandering around, and some guy sees him and says, what are you doing? And he says, I'm looking for my brothers. And he says, they're gone to Dothan. So he goes to Dothan, and then they see him coming. These brothers, these loving brothers. It's very important. And these brothers, they see him coming. And they look what it says. And it says, a certain man found him. Verse 18, it says, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. There's a conspiracy against him. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. What a family, you know. This is a tragedy. And they go, let's kill him. Let's just get rid of this guy. Our dad loves him more than us, and he's telling us all these dreams, and here he comes. We hate him, and let's kill him. And praise the Lord for his brother Reuben, and he heard it and says, no, let's not kill him. And so he was going to look after him. He said, no, we can't kill him. And so instead they put him in a pit. They put him in a big hole. There's no water in it. They're out in the bush somewhere, out in the desert, out in Dothan, and they chuck him in a pit. And Reuben's going to rescue him and send him back to his dad. Because everyone wants to kill him, and he said, no, we won't kill him. And then so he put him in a pit to send him back home. But then he goes away for some reason. And then here's verse 23. This is where Joseph's life really begins to change. Really changes here. Look in verse 23. It said, and it came to pass, when Joseph came unto his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colours that was on him. They took him and cast him into a pit. That's crazy. And verse down to 28, it says, and there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. What a terrible thing to do. Sold their brother into slavery. I said, what are we going to do? Kill him and hide his blood? That's not going to do us any good. We can't live with that. Let's get something for him. And then he's out of our hair altogether. We don't have to worry about him. We'll, and you know the rest of the story. And they get his coat and they rip it up and dip it in blood. And they go back to Dad and they go, Dad, look at what we found. Look at what we found. Look, Dad, look at this and see, is this Joseph's? Is it? Like as if they didn't know. And they did that. And Jacob, verse 34, he rent his clothes, put sackcloth on his loins, and he mourned for many days for his sons. What a tragedy. What a tragedy this was. This was totally unnecessary about what was going on here. But as we know the end of the story. So verse 36, Joseph is bought by Potiphar, and he's in Potiphar's house. Let's skip over verse 38. It's just talking about Judah. Judah and what he did. We don't need to look at that tonight. Go over to verse 39. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. So here he is now down in Egypt, sold into slavery, bought by someone else into Potiphar's house. But you can see here his character. Here's Joseph's character comes out. He's not kicking and screaming and fighting and trying to escape, is he? He's sold into slavery, and as you read through, look at verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph never gave up on God, did he? And that's a good thing. Joseph never gave up on God. See, God will never leave us or forsake us, will he? Usually when we have a problem with God, it's not because of anything that God has done. It's usually because we've done something. And that's how it is. But God was with Joseph, and he was prosperous, and even Potiphar's house was blessed. It was a blessing to have Joseph working for you. Wouldn't you love to have an employee like that? Look what it says. In verse 5, halfway through, it says, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Moses' sake. This is how much of a good character this Joseph guy had. He was such a good worker, and he was so diligent, and he was so keen, and he was so godly. I don't know what he had. He didn't have much when you think he didn't even have the law, did he? He didn't have the Bible. But he was faithful to God all the way through, and even the Egyptian's house was blessed just for having Joseph. And verse 6, it says, "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored." Hey, what a character. I love reading about Joseph. It's an encouragement. And it's good to know what he was like and go back through this. And as I've been reading this through the last couple of days, I've just been going, oh man, I've been in the wrong place. Joseph was faithful. And Joseph was faithful right through to the end. Now, he was 17 years old when he got sold into slavery. Verse 7 goes down here, and the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. I don't know how long he was in Potiphar's house. He was 17 years when he got there, been there for some time. It takes time to earn that trust. You know, Joseph didn't come in the first day, and Potiphar goes, yeah, you're a good guy. You can be in charge of everything. It would have taken time, and they had a relationship, and he got to know the place, and he knew the system, and he knew everything that Potiphar had. And then this woman wants to commit sin with him. And look in verse 9. I love this response. There is none greater in this house. This woman is pushing and pushing and pushing this guy. And he says, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" What a character. Keep thinking about the character of Joseph and what he was like and who he was and where he was at spiritually. How can I do this great sin against God? He knew what was the right thing to do, and the way this woman, she pesters him, and she grabs him by the clothes, and he gets his jacket off and he bolts and gets out of there. That is great. That is fantastic. And then she falsely accuses him to the guards in the house and to her husband, and then he gets thrown in prison. Unjustly. How many kicks does it take a guy? Ugh, your brothers hate you. Ugh, go and get in a pit. Ugh, we're going to sell you into Egypt. Ugh, now this woman accuses him and he's in prison. Tell me honestly, would you be discouraged? You'd be discouraged. Now, I don't doubt that Joseph had his times of being discouraged. So now he's in prison. Joseph is in prison for doing nothing. And look what it says in verse 21. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." Amen? Sold into slavery. I mean, we can't imagine what that would be like. We can't imagine. We don't do slaves in our society, in our culture, and we know that slavery is wrong and everything like this. But like, he got sold into slavery, falsely accused, thrown into prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. Even though, and I don't know what the prison would have been like back then. I wouldn't want to be in any prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer thereof. So here he is again, he's working. He's not giving up. He's not sitting in a hole crying, going, "Woe is me. I'm in jail for something I didn't do." Now, I don't know. I reckon there would have been tears. If it was me, there would have been tears. There would have been days probably where I was crying in a hole. But he was faithful to God, and God was with him and looked after him and gave him favor. And look at what it says in verse 23, the last part, "The Lord made it to prosper." Whatever Joseph did, even in prison, he was prosperous. Even in prison, he had a testimony. Even in prison, he had a testimony of the Lord. And then we have these guys here. Let's have a look at the butler and the baker. And they've upset the king somehow, and they've been thrown into the prison. And then one day they dreamed a dream. We'll get to the end of the chapter. Okay, and so these two guys, the butler and baker, and they dream a dream, and they're sitting there looking sad in their cells, and Joseph is coming around on the rounds and saying, "Hey guys, why do you look so sad?" That's what it says at the end of verse 7. "Wherefore look ye so sad today?" And they said, "Oh, we had these dreams and we don't know what they mean." And he goes, "Oh, well, you know, interpretations belong to the Lord." Look in verse 8, it says, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." And so the butler tells him his dream. There was a vine and a cup, and I squeezed grapes and gave the cup to the king. And he says, yeah, in 3 days, you're going to be restored back to your butler position. Oh, praise the Lord. And then the other guy, the baker, he goes, well, that sounds good. Here's my dream. And the baker says, I had 3 baskets on my head, and the top one was full of bread, and the birds came and ate it all out of the baskets. And he says, oh, sorry. 3 days, and you're going to be hung up on a tree, and the birds are going to come and eat your flesh. And in 3 days, that's what happened. Have a look at the end of the chapter. And these things happened, and verse 20 it says, and it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he had made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Whoa, Joseph got it right. It says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Oh, he forgot him. For 2 years. 2 years. Okay, so we know now, because it's 2 years, and it says that he was 30 years when he started to reign. So he's 28 years old now. So from the time he was 17, from now he's 28 years old. It's been 11 years since he was sold into slavery from his brothers. That's a long time. He's 28 years old, and he spends 2 more years in prison. He's 28. Now, we work it out because it says it later that he's 30, so go back 2 years. And verse 1 of 41, it says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. So here's Joseph still in prison, waiting. Remember, he tells the butler, he says, when you get out, speak good of me to the Pharaoh. But he forgot him. He forgot who he was. He forgot about Joseph. He forgot about being in prison. And then one day, the Pharaoh wakes up and he goes, man, I had the craziest dream. I need all you magicians and my big men. You come and tell me the interpretation of my dream, because I don't know what it was, and I couldn't sleep, and I had this dream, and I dreamt. It was the craziest dream. Can you believe it? And he says, what happened? Out of the Nile came 7 fat cows. I mean, that's crazy enough. 7 cows coming out of the river, and they're standing there eating. And then after the 7 fat cows came 7 skinny cows. 7 skinny bone, and they got no fat on them all, and they came out of the river. And he says, I've never seen a cow looking that bad in all of Egypt. I haven't seen one that bad for badness. And they came out of the river, and they ate the other cows. That's a big meal. And the cows didn't look any better for it. They still were skinny and bony. And I woke up. And his astrologers go, whoa. And he goes, but wait, I had another one. And there were 7 ears of corn. Big, fat, full, healthy-looking corn on one stalk. And another stalk grew up with these withered, spindly-looking bits of corn on them. And they ate the other ones as well. And they were still small and manky-looking. I had no idea, and I woke up again. What does it mean? What does it mean? Someone tell me what this means. I don't get it. And then the butler. Oh, I remember this guy. There's a guy in prison. Remember, he's the butler, so he's next to the king. He says, I remember my faults. He says, you were mad at me, and you threw me in prison, and I was in prison, and I had a dream. Remember me and the baker? You were upset at us, and you threw me in prison. Remember that? And he says, yeah, and he says, we had dreams, and there's a guy in prison, a Hebrew guy, and he told us our dreams, exactly what was going to happen. He can tell the dreams. Go and get him out. And so verse 14, if you're in chapter 41, get into verse 14, it says, and Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. Can you imagine what this guy is thinking? What is Joseph thinking? He's been 2 years have gone past. He's forgotten about the butler. He's forgotten about him putting in a good word for him for anything. And he's in prison, and he's doing whatever he's doing in prison, locking people up probably. And then they come down, and the guards come down to the keeper of the prison. And then the keeper of the prison comes in and goes, oi, Joseph, Pharaoh wants you. Oh. I've been in here a while. I haven't seen a mirror or a change of clothes. So he gets changed, gives him some new clothes and shaves himself and comes before Pharaoh. He would not be having a clue what was going on. Why am I being summoned to the king, the Pharaoh? What is this? It's pretty serious, isn't it? And 15, it says, And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. Who's he talking about? God. He didn't come out and go, yeah, I did a really good job, and I told about your butler and your baker. You should hear about the dreams that I told to my brothers. And my parents, maybe my mum and dad were cranky at me for these ones. No, he turned around and said, it's not in me, verse 16, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. God can do this. I can't do this. Only God can do this. And so Pharaoh tells him the dreams about the cows and these skinny cows and eating the big cows and the skinny corn, eating the big corn. And I would be pretty scared if I was Joseph. It'd be like being standing before Nebuchadnezzar and saying, yeah, your dream means you're going to like not do so well. But he says there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of drought, and it's going to be serious. That's why he had the dream twice. Look, that's what it says in verse 32. Verse 31, 32, it says, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. This is going to be so severe that everyone's even going to forget that we had a good time, that there was a time of plenty, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It was because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. What an interpretation. What a dream. What a man of God. Yeah? Yeah, Joseph, you have to respect Joseph. You can't read the story of Joseph and not admire him. His faithfulness to God through being sold into slavery, through being in Potiphar's house, the work, just God blessing the work, the false accusation. He wasn't sitting in prison brooding, going, oh, falsely, I shouldn't be here. No doubt he was praying and saying, God, why, how long? As we all would, but eventually, doesn't he? God vindicates the truth. And he came out. And it was God's timing. And so now it says that he was 30 years old. Verse 36, jump up, 46. See there, it says Joseph was 30 years old. So we can work out how old he was. 30 years old when he starts to reign. 2 years before then, he's talking to the butler. 17 years, you know, that's how we got these dates. And so here he is, he's talking to the Pharaoh, and he's telling the Pharaoh what to do. And the Pharaoh has the respect to sit there and listen to him. Who are you? You've been in prison for the last however many years. Who do you think you are? And look, listen to what he says. And then listen to what Pharaoh says about Joseph. It's amazing. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Hey, man, this is some wise thinking here. He didn't think of that himself. I don't believe he stood there and went, I know. You know, God speaks. God speaks. And look at what it says, 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And they're all sitting around going, yeah, the magicians. Imagine the astrologers and the chief guys and the soothsayers and all these people who couldn't tell him his dreams. They were probably all standing around going, oh, actually, I don't think they would have been able to say anything. Because they're going, yeah, that's a crazy dream. What does that mean? And they're like, oh, it's got a meaning. And then Joseph says this, and Pharaoh says, yeah, that's good. And they're going, yeah. They were probably lost. They didn't know what to do. And listen to what Pharaoh says. Listen to Pharaoh's commendation of what he says. It was good in Pharaoh's eyes and all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? man, is there anyone else we can find who's got the Spirit of God like this guy? It's like Daniel, isn't it? Hey, there is no one so wise as you. The Spirit of God is in you. He recognizes it. He can see that this guy is different. Even though he's come straight from prison, he's come out, stood before Pharaoh, told him the meaning of the dreams, told him how to look after the place for the next 14 years, and they say, you need to find someone to do it. He didn't say, you need to get me to do this. And Pharaoh says, you're the man. You're the man. And do you know what the Hebrew word is? I wrote this down. It was really interesting. The Hebrew word for him is Ish Ivri. Do you know what it means? It means the man. How good is that? You go back into chapter 39 where this woman says, this Hebrew, and look at that word, the Hebrew, the word is Ish Ivri. And it means the man. That is so funny. It just means the Hebrew. That Hebrew fella. The man. It just means the man. And he says, you are that man. Who else can do this but you? And listen to this. It says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. Thou shalt be over my house. According unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. You're going to be over my house. You're going to rule over my people. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. You're going to be number two. Whoa. From the prison to the palace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I've set thee over all the land. The whole land is under your control. And Pharaoh took off the ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. He took his signet ring off. He says he can write laws. You can do stuff. You can stamp. You got my signature. You can have this. And he's given him his ring and he's given him clothes. Look, he arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. The people had to respect him. Whoa, what a man. Can God do that? God was with him the whole time. From the start to the end. And then it goes down, and then he's in the house, and Pharaoh gives him a wife, he gives him someone's daughter, and verse 46 it says, and Joseph was 30 years old. He was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out of the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. In the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and he laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up the same. In the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And then it goes on to talk about his family there. He just collected so much food, it was ridiculous, they stopped counting it. And that seven plenteous years just kept coming, and all this food that they harvested. And verse, it talks about his family has 2 kids, Ephraim and Manasseh. And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended, verse 54. And the 7 years of dearth began to come according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. And Pharaoh says, don't even talk to me about it. Go and see Pharaoh. He's in charge of all of that. Pharaoh, all the people, imagine what this would have been like. This is a huge economical disaster for a country. Think about what this means to your land when there is such a drought that, as we go through it, we'll see what it cost the country and how rich the kingdom began. And I think we should stop there. We might stop. We'll just have a look in chapter 42 just to get the start of what's going on. And I didn't really think we'd get to the end of chapter 50. It was a bit ambitious, wasn't it? But 42, okay, and then it'll give us to go into my next sermon, so I don't have to study for a few more weeks now. This is awesome. It says, "Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." Oh, this is when it really gets exciting, okay? "And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt." Yeah, we'll leave it there because I love the part, and we can't get to it tonight. But just imagine. No, I won't give it away. We'll have to wait till another time. Sorry, people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for Joseph's testimony and how he was faithful, how you used him so mightily, Lord, to save a nation. And we just thank you for all that you've given us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.